بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسول الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ tonight is the 9th of July in the year 2020 الحمدللہ it being the glorious night of Friday and also the holy month of Zulqa'dah it would be an auspicious time to go through the life of one of our dear and exalted mothers. And when I'm saying mothers, I'm referring to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, inshallah, for the next week or so, we'll be going through the life of our dear mother, Sayyida Juwayriya, radiyallahu anha. And as is but obvious, our beloved messenger famously said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that paradise lies under your mother's feet. This is in Nasa'i Sahih Hadith. Then what of the mothers of all the believers? Right, so if paradise lies under your biological mother's feet, then what about the mother who is the mother for the entire believers? So obviously we should know as much as we can about our dear and beloved mothers. So first, her birth name and blessed lineage. With regards to our beloved mother's lineage, it is related in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 2, page 3. She was Sayyida Barra, daughter of Al-Harith, the son of Abi Dirar, the son of Habib, the son of A'id, the son of Malik, from the Khuza'a. Her father Al-Harith was the chief of the Banu Al-Mustaliq. She was first married to Masafi ibn Safwan, who was killed in the Battle of Muraisi when the Muslims attacked them in the 5th or 6th year of the Hijrah. So let's look at these details. So her birth name was Barra, and I'll explain why her name was changed at the relevant place. She was the daughter of the chief of a powerful Arab tribe, the Banu al-Mustaliq. So she's the daughter of the chief of that tribe. She was married previously. That man was killed in the Battle of Muraisi when the believers launched an offensive against them. Thus our beloved mother radiyallahu anha was the daughter of the powerful Arabian tribe of Banu al-Mustaliq. So now we need to discuss this battle, because her first husband died in that battle. The question is, when did the Battle of Muraisi take place? And there's a reason I'm discussing this. There are three views with regards to the date of this expedition. The first view is, it was 4 AH, the fourth year after the Hijrah, this campaign took place. Hafiz Ibn al-Arabi rahmatullahi favored this view amongst a few others. So 4 years after the Prophet migrated in Al-Madinah, this expedition took place. That's the first view. The second view is that the campaign of Muraisi took place in 5 or 6 AH. This view was favored by Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Jarir, Ibn Hazm, Ibn Abdul Barr, Ibn Al-Athir, rahimahumullah, amongst others. So why is there a difference? Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani, he clarified, in Fath al-Bari 7-232, the view that this campaign took place in 5 AH is the most correct one. How? For the participation of Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'ad radiyallahu anhu in this expedition is established from the narration of Bukhari. So Ibn Hajar said something, rahmatullah alayh. He goes, Sa'd ibn Mu'ad radiyallahu anhu participated in this campaign. So why is that important to highlight? Ibn Hajar continued, rahmatullah alayh. It is proven that Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'ad radiyallahu anhu passed away after the Battle of the Trench occurred in late 5 AH. Thus, if we assume the expedition of Muraisi took place in 6 AH, then how can the participation of Sa'd ibn Mu'ad be justified? This is recorded in Fath al-Bari 7-232. So this great man whose life we've recently been through, Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh, for whom the earth shook, radiallahu anhu, he was martyred shortly after the Battle of the Trench. The Battle of the Trench was in late 5 AH. So if this expedition, in which his name is mentioned, was in 6 AH, how can that be? He's already gone to Jannatul Firdaus. Therefore, the view that this campaign took place in 5 AH, Muraisi, is more correct. And this is why it's important to know the Sahaba, and you can learn where the reality lies. In addition, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu is also mentioned in the famous narration that describes the false accusation that was leveled against our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, which occurred immediately after the battle of Banu al-Mustaliq. So this is another important thing. The famous slander against Sayyida Aisha, where the munafiqs started the slander that she's committed adultery, a'udhu billah. When did that take place? That took place immediately after this campaign, Muraisi, or the Banu al-Mustaliq. Who is mentioned during that slander? Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh. In Sahih Bukhari, number 4750, Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, if the slanderer is from the Aus, my tribe, I will strike his neck. And if he is from our brothers from the Khazraj, commanders, and we will do as you command. So that happened after the battle of Banu al-Mustaliq. Therefore, it doesn't make sense. Sayyidina Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was martyred after the battle of Banu Qurayza, which took place in Zulqa'dah 5 AH. Therefore, the battle of Banu al-Mustaliq must have taken place in the same year before this. Have you understood this? Right? The battle of Banu al-Mustaliq must have taken place in the same year before this, because he's martyred. This view, early 5 AH, has been preferred by Musa ibn Uqba, ibn Sa'ad, Hafiz Zahabi, Hafiz ibn Qayyim, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, Hafiz ibn Kathir, amongst many others. Rahimahumullah. So now, what's interesting? The Holy Prophet's life is preserved. It has to be, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is the living Quran. But what's fascinating is the dates of the major incidents the scholars have not agreed upon. Some say 1 year later, some say 1 year prior, some say this, some say that, some say early in the first year, some say the later in the first year. So how do you work out where the truth lies? And you can work it out by knowing the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when it comes to the battle of Banu al-Mustaliq, Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh is critical to understand when this battle took place. Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he was martyred 5 AH Zulqa'dah. So Zulqa'dah is the November of the Islamic year. So he was martyred late 5 AH. The battle of Banu al-Mustaliq, which his name is mentioned, must have therefore took place earlier than that. Have you understood? He was martyred late 5 AH. So any time earlier than that, the Banu al-Mustaliq campaign must have taken place. To say that the campaign of Banu al-Mustaliq took place in 6 AH is an error. Because he's gone. And yet his name is mentioned. Radiallahu. So now, we've established it was the 5th year after the Hijrah, the Banu al-Mustaliq campaign. So what caused this expedition? The causes which led to the Battle of Muraisi. This can be boiled down to 3 main reasons. There were 3 reasons this campaign took place. Firstly, the Banu al-Mustaliq had allied themselves with the unbelieving Quraysh at the time. Indeed, they had supported and fought alongside their polytheistic brothers on the day of Uhud. So this is one reason. So who were this tribe allied with? The unbelieving Quraysh, who were the enemies of Islam at the time. So obviously, they had to be dealt with. They also boosted up the unbelieving Quraysh forces in the Battle of Uhud, proving their loyalty. The second reason, the Banu al-Mustaliq had control over territory through which the Muslims had to pass through on their way to Makkah. Thus, in the long term, the area controlled by Banu al-Mustaliq could have acted as a buffer zone for the Quraysh, preventing Muslims from ever being able to march with their army towards Makkah. Something therefore needed to be done about this untenable situation. So basically, Medina is there. Banu Mustaliq in the middle, Makkah. How are the Muslims going to deal with the unbelieving Quraysh when the Banu al-Mustaliq is bang in the middle? So they had to be dealt with. And the third reason, the chief of Banu al-Mustaliq was now mobilizing their forces to attack al-Madinah. And I put it very simply here, because obviously we're not ulama, but there's more details. But it's good to know why things are taking place. Otherwise, you'll get the fruitcake thinking the Prophet is just going berserk, attacking tribes left, right and center. And that's what the unbelievers want you to think. Astaghfirullah. Because he was a military general. The true colors came out. And then you respond by saying every campaign he took part in, there was great wisdom in it. So then you say, look, here's one example, Banu al-Mustaliq. You have to explain why the Prophet is dealing with them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So simply put, to recap, three reasons. The first, they had allied with the Quraysh. The second reason, they were used by the Makkans as an outpost to give them news about the Muslims. And thirdly, they were going to attack Al-Madinah. Think about that. So the next section is entitled, her father's intention to raise an allied force with which to attack Al-Madinah. So now think about this woman. Look how strange this is. Who is the chief of that tribe? The father of Juwayriya. Our mother. That's what I'm talking about this, right? So who's raising this force? Our mother's father. Maulana Manzoor Nu'mani, he clarified, rahmatullah alayh, in Ma'riful Ahadith, volume 4, page 500 of the New English Translation, in 5AH, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam learned that Harith ibn Abi Dirar, the chief of Banu al-Mustaliq, was making preparations to attack al-Madinah. In addition, he was gathering together the idolater tribes of the surrounding areas. This is in Al-Bidayah, volume 4, page 156. So stop in the report. So what was he doing? He wasn't just going with his own tribe. He was getting an allied force to destroy the Muslims. The Shaykh continued, the Banu al-Mustaliq were a branch of the tribe of the Khuza'a. They inhabited the lands near the spring named Muraisi. I.e. it was due to this fateful encounter that it was called the Battle of Muraisi. So there's two names for this encounter. The Battle of Banu al-Mustaliq or the Battle of Muraisi. So why is it called the Battle of Muraisi? Because Muraisi was the spring which was near their lands. A spring water, right? So it's also called the Battle of Muraisi. The Shaykh continued, many neighboring tribes joined them, and all of them had the support of the idolaters. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon receiving intelligence reports, decided therefore to strike first and go on the offensive against the Banu al-Mustaliq. But think about this. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala's guiding. Why does he need a spy network? Questions. The response is, he's teaching us. Because he's not going to be with you forever. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's got this network of spies within these tribes. And they're giving him the information. So what does he decide to do? Offense is the best defense. You attack first. Catch them off guard. Shaykh al-Ahadith Mawlana Idris Sahib Khan Dehlawi Rahmatullah Alayh, he mentioned in Seerat al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, volume 2, page 306-7 of the English translation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Buraida ibn Husayb radiyallahu to confirm the accuracy of this intelligence. When Sayyidina Buraida radiyallahu returned and confirmed the veracity of the report, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon instructed his companions to make preparations for the battle. The companions were battle ready within moments of this prophetic command. They set out with 30 horses. 20 belonged to the Ansar, 10 belonged to the Muhajirun. On this occasion, driven by the prospective allure of abundant booty, a large number of hypocrites who had never joined a single expedition before this also accompanied them on this expedition. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Zayd ibn al-Haritha radiyallahu anhu as his representative back in al-Madinah. And from the holy wives, he took along Sayyidah Aisha radiyallahu anha and Sayyidah Salama with him radiyallahu anhuma. On Monday, the 2nd of Sha'aban, they set forth. So let's break all this down. So all of this is a quote from Sirat al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So first, you have to confirm the reports. His spies have brought the news, but he's got a trusted, you hear this name quite a lot. He was the spy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name is Sayyidina Buraydah ibn Husayb. Aslami, from the Aslam tribe, radiyallahu. And he goes, go and confirm. So he went, he goes, absolutely confirmed, Ya Rasulullah, it's happening. The Prophet then got ready for battle. And you notice they didn't have much firepower. Why? Because this is a phase where they were still weak, you know, financially, militarily. 30 horses, 20 belong to the Ansar, 10 to the Muhajirun. And look how interesting. Who else has gone out with the Prophet? Munafiqs. You know, if he wasn't bad enough, and they were thinking, quick booty, quick booty, quick raid, quick, you know, quick book. They've joined the campaign as well. The Prophet said, Allah SWT leaves Zayd ibn al-Haritha, his beloved, you know, he called him his son, radiyallahu anhu. And he took who with him? Two wives with him, Aisha and Salama, radiyallahu anhuma. It was the 2nd of Sha'aban on a Monday. Mawlana Manzoor Nu'mani clarified further, rahmatullah alayh. In Ma'rif al-Ahadith, volume 4, page 500-1 of the New English Translation, thus in Sha'aban 5 AH, he took them successfully unawares with 1,000 companions. Radiyallahu ta'ala. Now think about that. He launched into them. They were completely unaware. He was upon them. They were occupied in the diurnal chores when the believers suddenly dawned upon them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon instructed Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu to call upon them to say La ilaha illallah so that their lives and property will be protected. He thus conveyed to them this message, but they refused to accept this and also thereupon shot arrows at the believing army. Thus, with the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the believers launched their attack. It was not long before they were defeated and their allies dispersed. This is all in Ma'rif al-Ahadith, volume 4, page 500-1 of the New English Translation. So let's break this down. So, absolutely perfect military operation. Caught them completely off guard. They weren't expecting him to be out. So that's genius, if you think about that. What happened to their spy network? Secondly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't just launch into them. He gave them an opportunity. He goes, Umar, call them to La ilaha illallah. So their lives and property. In other words, look at how interesting, important that is to highlight. He's not after booty. He's after people embracing Islam. In other words, I don't want your lives and property. Just say La ilaha illallah. In their arrogance, they refused. And Umar was a distance. He had a powerful voice. And then they were firing arrows. So obviously, they wanted battle. And very quickly, they dispersed after the Prophet engaged with them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Adding details. Shaykh al-Ahadith Mawlana Idris Sahib Kandahlawi Rahmatullah Alayh in his Sirat al-Mustafa Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam, volume 2, page 307 of the English translation. They were unable to withstand this sudden assault and 10 men were promptly dispatched to their deaths. The remaining men, women, children and the elderly were taken as prisoners and their wealth taken as spoils of war. The Muslims seized 2,000 camels and 5,000 goats. 200 families were captured as prisoners. Munafiqs, they don't come out of anything, right? Quick book, right? So what happened? 2,000 camels, what's the worth, even in today's day and age? 5,000 goats, what's the worth, today's day and age? 200 families, obviously, we can't put a price on human life. All of that was booty. What happened? Mawlana Manzoor Nu'mani clarified further, rahmatullah alayh, in Ma'rif al-Ahadith, volume 4, page 500-1 of the New English Translation, all the 700 members of the tribe were taken prisoners. 10 of their members had died in the fighting, whilst one Muslim was martyred. Just one. Amongst the captives was Sayyida Juwayriya, daughter of their chief Harith ibn Abi Dirar. Harith had somehow escaped, whilst his daughter Sayyida Juwayriya, radiallahu anha's husband, Masafi ibn Safwan, was killed during the encounter. So this adds details. What's happened? 10 of them were killed. One of them was whose husband? Juwayriya's. So he died. Must have been a brave man, but you know, he died. Secondly, what happened? The father of Juwayriya, radiallahu anha, he escaped. Now think about that. Why would a chief abandon his people? Isn't that disgraceful? The chief would want to die. I'm not going to let my tribe become slaves. He left it. Imagine. Left his daughter. Imagine. Widowed daughter, son-in-law dead. And that shows that it must have been a severe assault by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, Juwayriya has now become a prisoner. What happened? In Sahih Bukhari, number 2541, Sahih Muslim, number 1730, Ibn Kathir Sirah, volume 3, page 212 to 213 of the English translation, Abdullah ibn Aun, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, I wrote to Nafi, rahmatullah alayhi, asking him about the battle cry prior to fighting. So, one of the Salaf, he wanted to establish, is there a war cry before battle? So he wrote to Nafi, who was the student of Abdullah ibn Umar. So Nafi said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attacked Banu al-Mustaliq whilst they were engrossed in their pleasures, taking water at the well. He killed their warriors and took captives. It was that day he acquired, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I think this is what he said, Juwayriya, daughter of al-Harith, radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Umar narrated this to me and he was with that army. So this is a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim establishing that this incident, this battle took place. And what details, look how interesting. They were that obsessed with the sunnah. Somebody goes, battle criers, what are you doing jihad? What are you bothered about a battle cry for? That's me and you who don't give value to the sunnah. Right? He wrote, imagine, please Sheikh. And then he said, that there's an occasion where there was no battle cry, according to this hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet attacked them unawares, meaning he didn't give them a warning. And then, of course, Juwayriya was taken as a captive, with her husband being killed at that encounter and her father legging it, as they say in it. So, now just to add this to finish, our beloved mother, Juwayriya radiallahu anha, she had a most informative dream just prior to this encounter. So what's interesting about our mothers, if you study their lives, they had plenty of dreams. You know, if you look at their lives, like Allah is bombarding them with dreams. Juwayriya is no exception. So this dream was before this encounter. Keep this in mind. Sayyida Juwayriya radiallahu anha, she said, 3 days before the Prophet arrived. It's up in the report. So has the Prophet set out? Is it a 3 days journey? Allahu alim. But she said, 3 days before he caught us by surprise, I saw in a dream the moon coming towards me from the direction of Al-Madinah and falling into my lap. I did not like to mention this to anyone. But when we were defeated and I was taken as a prisoner, I hoped that my dream would materialize. Indeed, he said Allah and then released me and he married me. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I did not speak to him about my people to release them from captivity till my cousin disclosed to me that they had become Muslims. And I thus thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where's this recorded? Hakim in his Mustadrak, volume 4, page 27. Sahih Bayhaqi in his Dalail al-Nubu'ah. Hafiz Zahabi in his Siyar, volume 2, page 265. Ibn Kathir Sirah, volume 3, page 216 to 7 of the English translation. Hafiz Zurqani in his Sharh al-Mawahid. Ma'arif al-Ahadith, volume 4, page 502 of the New English translation. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 289 to 90 of the New English translation. So let's break this down. So she's had a dream. Is she a Muslim? No. So do unbelievers have dreams? Yes. The Quran testifies to that as well. And what's the dream? The moon's coming towards her from Al-Madina, falls into her lap. So obviously, did she understand it? You know, she was thinking, what does that mean? I didn't mention it, she said, not to my husband, nobody. But when my tribe was defeated, I was taken prisoner, I hoped. Well, now she was explaining that she was interpreting it to mean, does this mean I'm going to marry Muhammad? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, it happened. He goes, he released me and he married me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then she said, I didn't speak to him about my family. I didn't say, Ya Rasulullah, since you've married me, these are all your in-laws now. Can you release them? Because I didn't even mention that. But then she said, my cousin told me they'd all become Muslims. And I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, why is that so beautiful? Because we plan something, but Allah ta'ala plans something else. You got to keep that in mind when you're going through your life. You notice that, right? Imagine, you know, did the Muslims think when they were attacking the tribe, were attacking the tribe of the mother of the believers? Did they think all of them going to become Muslims? Munafiqs though, pesa. That's all they were thinking about. When that happened, they must have choked. You can't give me a bike. Gave it all back, right? And that was Jubayriyah. So note, and also the beauty about going through the lives of the mothers, you become geographically more aware of what's happening. First, you just hear about Makkah and Al-Madinah, and you're happy with that. Then suddenly Taif mentions, okay, Taif, and all that. Then you hear it, and then after a little bit, you think, oh, right? Banu al-Mustalik now will have a place in your heart. That's the tribe of Jawariya, radiallahu anhu. Right? Look how beautiful the seerah opens up. But we'll mention more, inshallah, in the forthcoming days. So all I mentioned this opening night was basically an introduction to the life of our beloved mother, Sayyida Jawariya, radiallahu anhu. Don't forget, her name was Barra. I'm using her name after. Her name was Barra, her name was changed, I'll mention that at the relevant time. And a little bit about when the campaign took place, who were the Banu al-Mustalik? She was the daughter of the chief al-Harith. Why did the Prophet want to target this particular location? The details are given. And alhamdulillah, goodness came, as always, from our beloved messenger. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله سبحان الله وما بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وذي بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل بالحق وواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم